Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And as we usually do, we look ahead now to the readings for this Sunday, the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The opening prayer, as I always like to remind you, pay attention to the opening prayer. Put your mind into it, put your heart into it, but look at what the church is asking us to pray all over the world. All over the world, millions of Catholics are praying this prayer. But so many of us are just saying words. Let's make this prayer our own. O God, who manifest your almighty power, above all by pardoning and showing mercy, bestow, we pray, your grace abundantly upon us, and make those hastening to attain your promises heirs to the treasures of heaven. Give us your grace, Lord. Share your life with us in a way that enables us to follow you. And make us, those of us who really are hastening toward heaven, who want eternal life, who are seeking union with God. And all of us can. There's nobody excluded from that. It's your decision. And make those hastening to attain your promises heirs to the treasures of heaven. You know, you really are in God's will. We have human wills. After people die, we read their wills, and sometimes people get money and possessions and so on. But we're written in God's will. And God's gift is eternal life if we follow him. Let's take a look now at the readings for this Sunday. The first is from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 25 to 29. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Just think of that. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. The authority is passing on. The authority is being broadened. And notice what the result was of receiving that authority. They prophesied. They entered more deeply into the mind and heart of God. Now, two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. I wonder why. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So there had to be a good reason why they stayed behind, because God's Spirit was not limited to those he called out to another place. God always looks at the heart, always looks at the intentions, our motivations. Pay attention to that. God does not look at the externals. We can put on a show, but God doesn't look at those externals. He looks at the heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. In other words, they aren't out here. They aren't right here with us. Therefore, stop them. But Moses answered him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. And what happened? God did that in Christ. He made the Holy Spirit available to all of us if we would seek him. So many, many people have no idea of the treasures available, and some of them, when they hear it, scoff at it, don't believe it. Many people have said to me, I don't want it. It's like saying, I want to die. God's Holy Spirit is there for all of us, given to us in baptism, strengthened with gifts in confirmation. The Holy Spirit is with us. Do you live life in the Holy Spirit, in his presence, seeking his wisdom? Psalm 19, the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart, and they really do. The law of God is refreshing. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, The fear of the Lord is pure. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. They give life. So many people feel like they constrain or they impede what I want to do. But if you allow the law of the Lord to form your life, you will be free in a way you cannot imagine. And you will have joy in the heart that the world cannot give. Choice needs to be made. The letter of James, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending misery. Your wealth has rotted away, your clothes have become moth-eaten, your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. In other words, those who simply are consumed by wealth, by power, by prestige, it will corrode, it will eat you from the inside out. It will eat you. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Where you have misused your wealth, where you have used it for evil, the cries of those harmed by it will be heard by the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. When we attack the poor, when we steal from the poor, when we misuse, it is as though we do it to the Lord himself, and there will be a day of retribution. Please heed the warning. Please heed it. Those of you who are consumed by wealth and power, please heed the warning. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, 38 to 43, 45, and then 47 and 48. At that time, John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name. We tried to prevent him because he does not follow us. Jesus replied, Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who at the same time can speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. See, we make such clear demarcations. This person doesn't do it the way we do it, therefore they're not of our company. We have to be very careful where we draw lines, brothers and sisters. Very careful. If it's evil, of course draw the line. But if it's simply someone doing it differently than we do it and we feel threatened, don't condemn, don't attack. Pay attention. Is there something to learn here? Jesus says, There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. If there are people who serve you, and they're not directly of your company, but they serve you in generosity and in honesty, is God not going to bless that? Whoever causes one of these little ones, now, he takes a different tack. He looks at it from a different side. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, if someone attacks a believer, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, especially if it's children. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. What Jesus is saying is not go around cutting off hands and feet and taking out eyes. What he's saying is cut off sin. Cut it off. Don't just say, well, it's going to take me a while. Maybe I can do one less time this week or this month. No. cut it off, reject it, turn away from it. Say, I will not follow that temptation anymore. I will not follow that path anymore. Be strong, and God will give you the strength to be strong. So that, yes, it can feel like I'm cutting myself off from something I obviously find pleasure in. But brothers and sisters, do it. Don't wean yourself. Well, maybe I can do it one less time this week. You don't know how long you have to live. Cut it off, cut it out, and do it now. God will give you the grace. God will give you the strength to do that. For he loves you. He loves you more than you could possibly understand. God is in Christ, is very, very strong in this gospel passage because he wants us to see how seriously we need to take it. We really do. We can't say, well, maybe tomorrow. Because, brothers and sisters, tomorrow might not come. And that's real. Tomorrow might not come. A car accident, a fall, a sudden stroke. I'm not saying this to create fear in you. I'm just saying time is very precious. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. It's an old adage, and it certainly applies in these circumstances. Pope Francis has said so clearly, Jesus is the path, and a path is for walking and following. We cannot follow Jesus on the path of love unless we first love others, unless we force ourselves to work together, to understand each other, to forgive each other, recognizing our own limits and mistakes. We must do works of mercy and with mercy, putting our heart into them, works of charity with love, with tenderness, always with humility. That's what Pope Francis tells us, and he reminds us the first in the church are those who are most in need, humanly, spiritually, materially, the neediest. Pope Francis keeps telling us, look for them. This is one way, brothers and sisters, to turn your life around. Instead of indulging in your own pleasures, the things you want to do which lead you into sin, start looking to the neediest and go serve them. Give yourself to them, and you'll watch your heart change. If you do it sincerely, even though you'd rather do something else, but you begin to serve the poor, you will be amazed at how your own heart changes, how your priorities shift. It's major because what's happening is you're doing what God is asking you to do rather than what you selfishly want to do. And it will lead you away from sin. And it will lead you into great peace and confidence. And as I've said a number of times recently, it will lead you to a joy that no one will take from you. I mean that. So take a look. Where is sin reigning in my life? Where do I need to say no? Where do I turn to follow Christ more closely? God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.